together. The title of my message is Weighed Down by Trials and Temptations, We Have a Good Father. That's the title of my message, and it's going to be out of James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. I'm going to go ahead and read all the verses up to the 17 and up through 17 and 18 as we've been studying through the book of James. Starting in verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. But as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love them. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage and for what you'll do through this passage in our hearts and in our lives. I ask God that you would hide me behind the cross, that people would see only you tonight. And I ask God that you would give me the words to say, that you give me the boldness and the clarity of my words, God. Let them be your words and only my mouth. I ask God that you would empty me of myself and fill me full of your Holy Spirit. And I ask God that you would use your word to work in the hearts and in the lives of those here tonight, including myself, and to minister to each of us as you see our needs. We look forward to seeing how you'll work, and we thank you for it in advance, God. We love you, and thank you for your love for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you recall last week, last month, we went over, if you recall, sometimes I don't recall what was preached last week, and that's to my shame. But if you recall last week in reading through this passage, we went over temptation and the effects that sin has on us. And it almost seems as though this verse, this next verse, is a completely different thought. It's like it's starting a new thought. But I hope to show tonight that that's not the case, that it's a continuation of what James has been conveying to the 12 tribes of Israel here. The purpose tonight is that every believer would understand the goodness and faithfulness of our good Father, even amidst the darkest and most overwhelming times in our lives. First of all, I'd like to point out that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, at first, it seems like that's kind of a redundant statement, every good gift and every perfect gift. But that's not the case. It's two different actions of the same verb there. Every good gift is talking about the act of giving. And then every perfect gift is the gift that is given. And so every good gift, so the act of giving, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above. And this verse contrasts the lie that's in verse 13. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So this verse contrasts the lie to the temptations that evil comes from God. In contrast to the father of lies that would have us believe that God is to blame for the temptations to do evil in our lives, we have a good father of light and of truth. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11 says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son ask bread? Will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" James 1:18, it says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Which is saying that if God created us the first fruits, or the very best, specially created in his image, and we now have new life in Christ Jesus as believers in Christ, could it be that he now has somehow turned against us and brought evil circumstances into our lives to destroy us or to tear us apart? Of course not. While the devil may seek to use those circumstances in our lives to destroy us, as he did with Job, that was his intent, God intends it for our good, to purify us and to make us more like himself. So every good and perfect gift is from above. So what do gifts have to do with trials? I said that this was a continuous thought, so where's the connection? I mean, there's the connection and the contrast to the temptations not being from God, but this passage is about trials. So what do good gifts and trials have in common? What do they have to do with one another? Our good Father promises to work all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. I wonder tonight, I'm sure that each one of us has been in a trial at one point in our lives or another, and maybe you're in one tonight. Have you ever been able to come to the point where you've been able to thank God for that trial? Believing that God had a greater purpose in that trial that he was seeking to fulfill in your life. I remember when I was a kid that Dad would have us go out to the apple orchard. We had four apple trees. And sometimes it was when we were in trouble and it was punishment. I remember one time that I got in pretty bad trouble and I spent many hours out there in the apple trees trimming suckers. How many of you know what a sucker is? Yeah, it's that long, green, straight branch that looks strong, it looks good, but it doesn't produce anything. And why is it called a sucker? Because it sucks the energy from the tree to produce to other branches that actually do produce fruit. And so Dad would have us go out there and we would trim those tree branches, those suckers, out. And there was a lot of them sometimes. And what we would notice is that the next season, it would seem as though there was almost twice as many apples as the season before. Why? Because we took all those suckers out and the energy was able to go to those branches that produce good fruit. And they were able to produce more because we clipped those suckers out. And Jesus says in John 15:2, "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Your season of purging is for your good, that you might bring forth more fruit, which also implies that you're a fruitful child of God. So that's an encouraging thing, to me anyways, when I'm in a trial, that God sees that He sees fruit in my life, and He wants to purge the things in my life. He wants to cut out the things in my life, break down the things in my life that are preventing me from producing more fruit, so that I might produce more fruit to the glory of God. And so it's actually meant to be an encouragement in our lives, because it's evidence that there is fruit in our lives, and God sees that, and He wants to produce more fruit in our lives. Joseph found this to be true, as he testified in Genesis 50, verse 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Joseph saw that through all the pain and the heartache and the injustice and the trials that he endured, God intended it for good, to serve a much greater purpose through his surrendered spirit to the Lord working in and through him. Number three, I want us to look at the rhythm of his faithfulness. The rhythm of his faithfulness. That verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." With whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If there's one thing that we could probably all agree on, it's that trials are usually unexpected. And they come with a bunch of twists and turns of unknowns. But amidst the roller coaster of unknowns is a faithful God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful to be good in our lives, and we can hold on to His changeless hand. We see a rhythm of renewal in creation with a consistent phrase, "The evening and the morning were the first day." In Genesis 1, we see the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. And we see that rhythm, that rhythmic motion there. The evening and the morning, the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning. And each day, God renewed a fresh day, and He promised us that evening and morning, that evening and morning. And it's like almost as though He gave us a reset button, a restart button every day. Now, most of us through our society wait until January 1st to hit that reset button. But God knew that we needed that every day, that fresh, crisp morning. Well, sometimes in the summer it's not so crisp, but that's new. And how many of you have had problems with electronics? I would venture to say that pretty much probably every one of us has had problems with electronics. They're a great blessing in many ways, but it can also be a big pain in the neck. I was going to use the computer down there as an illustration, but it backfired on me. So, how many of you have called up an electrician, or not an electrician, but a tech, or maybe you've heard it before or looked it up on Google, and the first thing that comes up is turn it off and wait a little bit and then turn it back on. And it's surprising how just doing that solves a world of problems and even helps it to run better. And I was going to try that with the computer down there, and it backfired on me, and that's deeper issues than just turning it off and back on. But be that as it may, God knew that we would need a recharge. And He gave us that gift of a restart button every day. The sunrise, the sound of birds chirping, gives us a picture of a clean new slate. We don't have to wait until January 1st to start that new clean slate. He gives us that every single day. Often the evenings or when bad news seems to weigh the heaviest, or the mistakes that we've made throughout the day seem to weigh the heaviest on our minds and kind of press down on us. Psalms 30 verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." God created us with a system of renewal and recharge and a morning of hope and of promise. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." While we sleep and recharge, He watches over us and protects us. Jesus beckons us to come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we awake with the gifts of life and breath that He bestows upon us, He also renews His compassionate mercies to us. Great is His faithfulness. We have a good Heavenly Father who gives us good gifts and nothing less. We ask Him for wisdom, as this verse says. In verse 5 it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." And when we ask Him for wisdom, He gives graciously and He doesn't hold back. When we ask Him, He also gives the crown of life. In verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." So He gives the crown of life to those that endure temptations and trials in this life. When we're tempted to sin, He gives us a way of escape. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that even our faith isn't in and of ourselves. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. So even our faith is a gift from God. He is faithful not only to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, but also works to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are asked or think. God isn't trying to break us through trials. He isn't trying to destroy our lives. He isn't trying to lead us astray. He only means it for good in our lives. And when we see that, when we truly believe that and hold to that, even through the times that we don't understand, we can come out with producing more fruit. We can come out producing what God means for good in our lives. So God isn't trying to break you through trials, destroy you through temptations, to give in to your evil desires, but rather out of the goodness and faithfulness of who He is. He desires to work everything together for your good, just like a puzzle. How many of you put a puzzle together and there's just that satisfying feeling when you have that last piece in and it's all put together? And that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to take every single thing, even the things that you don't think are good. He wants to use those things for good in your life. He wants to fit those pieces together. Even when you don't think it matches, He knows that it does. And He wants to work those puzzle pieces together in your life to build a masterpiece for His glory. So He even desires to use your trial as a gift to help mature you as a Christian and to strengthen you in your faith, your patience, and your trust. But, going back to verse 4, it says in verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Let patience have her perfect work. Will you let patience have her perfect work in your life and thank God for the gift that He desires to give you through trials and difficult circumstances in your life? I love that hymn that we sung, that actually Mrs. Gossman picked. That last verse came to my mind as I was preparing for the sermon. It says, "Every joy or trial falleth from above. Traced upon our dial by the Son of Love, we may trust Him fully. All for us to do, they who trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true. It says, every joy or trial falleth from above. Which made me think of this verse, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Have you been able to view your trials as gifts from God? It's like, to my son, giving my wife a new washer or a dishwasher or something like that, would he'd be like, huh? That doesn't look like a gift, you know? But I'm sure to my wife that would mean a lot more than a stuffed animal or a toy from the store would. And in the same way, sometimes we can look at gifts of trials in our lives as, that's not a gift. I didn't want that. I didn't ask for this. But yet when we look back and we see what God has done through that, we wouldn't trade it for anything. Because He has taught us things through those. He has matured us through those things in our lives. Through ways in which we otherwise wouldn't have been. And if we can come to the point in which we can thank God for the gifts, the good and the perfect gifts in our lives, even the trials, as gifts in our lives, we can let Him have His perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Can you come to the point where you can thank Him for loving you too much to leave you just as you are? Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? We have a good Father. And no matter what trials are weighing down on you, no matter what circumstances may be surrounding you, we have a good Father that giveth us good gifts. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank You so much for the truths that we can glean from this passage. The promises of hope and of renewal that You give to us. The gifts. The psalmist says that You daily load us with benefits. And we just thank You so much for that, God. But one of the greatest gifts that You could give to us, God, is that Your merciful compassions are renewed to us every morning. Oh, God, how we need that. We need that restart button that we can start over again. And live for You and not ourselves. God, help us to see, even in the ugly, unknown circumstances in our lives, the trials that we face, help us to come to the point in which we can thank You for those trials, believing in the good that You seek to work in our lives and in our hearts through them. Thank You, God, for loving us too much to leave us just as we are. And even though the pruning of those suckers hurts sometimes, and it feels like they're breaking us down, You're only purging us to produce more fruit in our lives. And we thank You for that, God. We thank You that though all may change, Jesus never. Glory to His name. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We just thank You, God, for the promises that we can glean from Your Word tonight. And that we can draw hope from through hopeless situations. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, turn in your hymn books to, I think it's hymn 37. No, it's 40. Yes, 40. Hymn number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please stand as we sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn 40.
Hymn number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's stand as we sing. Hymn number 40. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.